I'm lighting these candles because, well, they're up here. And they should be lit, shouldn't they? If we're going to kind of savor Christmas. We don't want it to go... We don't want it to leave Christmas too soon, do we? All the people who put so much time and effort into decorating. That's kind of sad, isn't it? When you got to take all the decorations and take them down. One thought I had when I was gone for a month, I thought, boy, I'm going to forget how to do all this church stuff. You know, I hadn't been away for a month. It's like, will I remember how to do this? It'll probably come back to me, huh? My wife had this idea. She goes, well, why don't we just have like a fireside chat sort of thing? And didn't the presidents do that? So I don't feel qualified to do that yet. But yeah, I want to take a moment to just save the flavor of Christmas, I guess, and enjoy that. Because it's been a crazy year, hasn't it? Crazy month, for sure. And our family's been crazy. So it's good to take a deep breath and think about the goodness of God, how God really showed up in mighty ways. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I think one thing that this year has taught me and probably taught many people, reminded us, we are frail in some ways. And we're scared. And we don't know the future. And so when that happens, we get worried, we get anxious. But you are the light of the world. And you light our path. You show us which way to go. You provide for us. And as we think about this year and how it all unfolded and we probably had terrific, wonderful plans at the beginning of 2020. And then so many were postponed or canceled or changed. And when that happens, we get frustrated. We shake our head and wonder, what's going on? Sometimes we even shake our fist at you. Wonder, God, why are you doing this to us? Why are you doing this to me? Well, you are a God of plans. Perfect plan. And your plan is being carried out. And we're along for the ride. And we can go with you voluntarily, or we can dig our heels in grudgingly. But we're going along, and you're taking us with you. Some people get it confused. Some people think, oh, I'm taking God with me, but no. We go with you, God. You are our leader. You are our master and our Lord, our Savior, our God, our King. And so as we come to the end of 2020, and we know that those are just numbers, 2020, and then we have 2021 and so forth and so on. Those are numbers arbitrarily put down on paper so that we can somehow understand our schedule. But you, O Lord, it's your schedule we want to follow with our hearts and our minds and our soul. And so we pray, Lord, for this body of believers, those who have the light of Christ in their lives, let it burn bright in us. For the rest of this year, into the next, and so forth. And for those who are still on the outside, confused and not understanding what church is all about, may we share the answer of the hope and the truth that lives within us. We thank you, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So since I didn't get to preach much in December, I kind of feel like I'm probably getting ahead of myself preaching about 2021. Because, by the way, everybody did an excellent job. with the church services. Everybody pulled together and really did a great job, and I really appreciate that. But I'm moving on. Proverbs chapter 16. To man belongs the plans of the heart, from the heart. But from the Lord comes the reply of the tongue. All a man's ways seem innocent to him, but motives are weighed by the Lord. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. So we're looking at, again, thinking about the new year ahead of us. Suppose for a moment it enters your mind that you want to build a house. Is anybody building a house this year? I don't know. You sit down and you make a list of all the materials you need. And you think, and then you order all these materials, and they are to be delivered at a certain date, at a certain time, and all these materials is put and placed in the center of the lot where you're going to build your house. And the next day, the bulldozer shows up to excavate the basement for your house. But everything is all in the way. It's all cluttered. Why did this happen? Well, simple. There was a failure to plan on your part. Without some rudimentary planning, if you don't plan, you're not sure what are you going to eat this morning. When I woke up this morning, I go, what am I going to eat? Ah, there's a gingerbread cookie. I'll have one of those and walk out the door. That was my breakfast. But we need detailed plans, or we're not going to be able to build the house. We're not going to be able to build the shelter or the skyscraper or the shopping mall or the city. There's always plans that need to be made. And if producing shelter, if getting clothes, if getting food, if this is valuable to us, then guess what? Planning is valuable to us. We need to plan. Nothing but the simplest impulses will anything get accomplished without some forethought in our lives. And that's called planning. All of us know this, and we practice it in relation to the basic physical necessities of life. We take the steps to see what we have enough. Do we have enough to eat? Do we have enough clothes to keep us warm? But do we take this into account when we think about our spiritual life? Do we apply the same earnestness in planning to maximize our ministry that we do when we think about, how are we going to make a living? What I'd like to do today is to persuade. Oh, I apologize, by the way. I've lost my bifocals. Have you seen my bifocals? I don't know where they are, so that's why I'm taking my glasses off now. Well, I try to persuade us today to set aside time to regularly plan. It may be once a week, or in my case, we're lucky if I plan once a month. That's more realistic for me. I plan. But we want to specifically to plan our life of prayer, our devotion, our ministry. Because guess what? And this is kind of a weird analogy, but the Holy Spirit is like, it's like the bulldozer, and it shows up on the work site, and if all the stuff is in the way, then we're not ready to hear or to do what the Lord wants to do. We have all this stuff piled in our life. We're not ready to hear from God. So I want to motivate us today, hopefully, as we enter 2021. Like I said, I feel like I should have 4 sermons on Christmas before I get to this, but it's not going to happen. 4 examples of planning in the Bible. First, there's many verses in the book of Proverbs. There's also the planning of the Apostle Paul, as we read in the book of Romans, where he tells of his plans and what he's going to do. There's also planning of the Father in heaven. There's planning of Jesus, his Son, on earth as they carry out their missions. I'll talk about that. First, let's look at the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 6-7. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. He has no commander, no overruler or overseer, yet it stores provisions in summer and gathers its food for the harvest. The ant is an example not only because it works so hard, but because it plans ahead. It assesses the summer and says, we got to store the food so we can have food in the winter. This forethought provides its needs for the winter. Wasn't that a fun movie? Ants, or was it A Bug's Life? And how they had all these, even invented things. I mean, I know it's all Disney stuff or Pixar or whatever it was, but that's a fun movie. But they had to plan, didn't they? Proverbs 14 and 15. A simple man believes anything, but a prudent man gives thoughts to his steps. That's about planning. The difference between planning and not planning is whether do you look into the future or do you look at just the immediate wants and desires. If you are not a planner, then you will be at the mercy of others who always are trying to give you counsel about what you need to do to be happy in the here and the now. I'm going to go to my college days, okay? I wasn't much of a planner. And so when someone would come up to me and say, hey, what are you doing this weekend? Oh, I don't have any plans. Hey, you're coming along with me. And of course, I would say, sure, let's go. You know, if I would have just planned a little more, my GPA would have been a lot higher, I'm sure. So the simple believes anything. And I guess I say that's probably what I was, simple. But a prudent man, a wise man, looks where he is going. He considers the days to come and what they are beginning, and he thinks about how best to prepare for them and use them to accomplish his purposes. That's so important. Proverbs 15:22. Plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors they succeed. That's a good another one. Here, the wisdom of planning is taken for granted. The writer simply gives us advice at how to make the plan succeed. He says, don't be so independent you think that you are above counsel. Read the wisdom of others that have gone before you. Talk to experienced and wise people. Watch the ways other people are doing things and learn from their mistakes and their successes. Yesterday, Sydney and I, we went to the store and we picked up a little pet. We were starting to gather pets at our house. And we brought home a gecko. Not a lot of planning, I guess. It was kind of spontaneous. But I'll tell you, I didn't know much about geckos. Did you know about these little crawly lizards things that are in the desert? But we brought that home, and I was so amazed at all the information I learned by the pet store owner, who shared all her wisdom and insight about geckos. Now I know more about geckos than I ever wanted to know, about these little creepy crawly things. But I wouldn't have known if I hadn't asked. We must not be afraid to ask when we don't know. I think that's very important for students to be able to have the courage to go ask the teacher. Teacher, I don't understand this. I remember a time, I was not getting algebra at all. The light would not come on, and I would sit there at my desk and just, you know, I like to crawl into the desk, I think. And I didn't know. Finally, the light came on. But I don't think it would have ever came on unless I finally asked for help. It's always wise to ask someone who has already walked ahead of you in these different stages of life. Again, planning. Here's Proverbs 16:3. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. I think most of us have recited that verse on different occasions. Again, planning is taken for granted. And the issue is, how can you plan in such a way that what you produce has abiding fruit, not temporary? We have to seek the Lord's guidance and strength in our planning. Trust His wisdom, not our own, that our plans will bear fruit that will last. Proverbs 24, verse 27. Finish your outdoor work. Get your fields ready. And after that, build your house. You know, in modern day lingo, that's something like, hey, get a job before you get married. Or at least have a plan of how you're going to support this family that you are forming. It seems common sense, but it takes planning. From Proverbs 31, where it talks about the wife of noble character. She gets up while it's still dark. She provides, that's easy to do now, isn't it? She provides food for her family, portions for her servant girls. She considers a field and buys it out of her earnings. She plants a vineyard. Here, the model homemaker is a model planner. She gets up early, assigns tasks to her maids. You cannot assign tasks to your maids if you don't have a plan. What are you going to have? What are you going to have them do? She considers a field and buys it. Why does she do that? She considers how will it fit into the big picture of the family. Julie's pretty good at that. She's on her phone making an order. I mean, who thought that one day you could go up to Walmart and just stay in the parking lot and they bring all the stuff out to you? And all you do is order it online. No more wandering around the aisles trying to, do I want that or not? I don't know. Go online, get it all ordered for you, and go out there and they'll pretty nifty. What's the conclusions of Proverbs here? Careful planning is part of what makes a person wise and productive. We want to be that. Not to plan that's considered foolishness and dangerous. This is true even when the Proverbs say, we even don't know what the future holds, but we should plan anyway. Boy, doesn't that sound like 2020? Who thought when we were tipping our glass of sparkly whatever you were drinking that night, okay, and all of a sudden the next day you wake up and, hey, COVID hits. Seemed like that, didn't it? And all our plans that a lot of them didn't come to fruition. In his heart, a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps, Proverbs 16:9. The fact that the Lord is ultimately in control of the future does not mean we shouldn't plan. Some people think that, well, God's got it under control. I don't have to do anything. No, we need to plan. Let's move on to the New Testament. We will take just one example of Paul from his letters in the book of Romans, where he's writing to the Romans about his plan. It has always been my ambition, it says, to preach the gospel where Christ was not known, so that I would not be building on someone else's foundation. But now that there is no place for me to work in these regions, and since I have been longing for many years to see you, I plan to see you as I go on my journey to Spain. I hope to visit you while passing through to have you assist me on my journey. And after I have enjoyed our company for a while, But before that, I'm going to go to Jerusalem. And after I complete that task, I will go to Spain and I will visit you on the way. So he writes out specifically what Paul's plan is, what his plan is. Paul knew that planning was essential for productive ministry. And that's not personal ministry and maybe more complex ministry in the church. Paul was the greatest church planter that ever lived. He accomplished more in his life for the spread of Christ than any other person. So I think it would be well for us to look a little bit seriously at how he went about planning. What was his method? Well, he had a general guideline, didn't he? First he said, I wanted to preach where no one preached before. Then he developed a specific plan. He said, well, I got to go to Jerusalem first. I have a gift to take to Jerusalem. Then I'm going to go to Rome and to establish a Western base. And then I'm going to make my way to Spain. What makes this especially significant is this, that his plans failed. His plans fell through. He got arrested in Jerusalem. He ended up being a prisoner taken to Rome. The Bible never says he ever got to Spain. It's just like we saw in Proverbs. God is the one who makes the future. But we plan nevertheless. God uses our planning even if we are unable to fill it. There's something valuable about that exercise of sitting down and saying, this is my plan. Do I know if it's going to come to fruition? Do I know if it's going to actually be completed? I don't know. But we need to plan. Because look in the sense of Paul. Paul, if he had not planned to use Rome as a base of operations on that trip to Spain, he probably would never have written the greatest book in the Bible, the book to the Romans. Planning is so crucial in Christian living and Christian ministry, even when God has the right and authority to overrule our planning. I'm sure I'm sure a year ago we had some terrific plans in mind, didn't we? How many came to reality? I bet not nearly as many that were called off and canceled and changed. Julie and I, we had this great idea. We're going to take a cruise in 2020. How are we going to do this? We're going to get a free cruise. This is better than a cruise. We're going to get a free cruise because we're going to take the kids down to Disney, and because we went down to Disney and we went to this one little workshop thing where they try to sell you something else. And we're not going to do that, of course. But if you get through that, then you get a free cruise. You know, if you can suffer through the presentation. And so we did that. But well, I'm glad we didn't take a cruise. We could probably be on the ship still somewhere. I don't know. Crazy stories coming out of the cruise line industry. Maybe you're planning a wedding. We have a newlywed couple right here in our church today that got married in Germany. I'm sure I've heard lots of stories. Maybe you heard stories about people who got married who were planning a wedding. Maybe the invitations were already sent out, but then the government said, "Oh, only 10 people can get together." Craziness. What do you do? Maybe you had an elective surgery had, or you had to get some surgery done. But those were all put on hold, right? Because they needed to make sure there was beds available for those who might have been contracted with COVID. When things get canceled, when things get changed, we get frustrated, don't we? We get exasperated. But then we also forget about God's greater plan. And that's what we've got to remember. The ultimate reason for planning is that we serve a God who is a planner. And we are created in His image to exercise that dominion on earth under His lordship. God is a planner, and so must we. I don't think it's even conceivable or even possible to envision a God who does not desire and want to carry out a plan. God is not a God who is a knee-jerk reaction to a response of some stimulus that affects Him. No, He is deliberate in His actions, and He is wise in His purposes. Isaiah 46. I am God, there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, from ancient times, things not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand. I will accomplish all my purposes. God, the one we serve, is a planner. Ephesians 1, 9 through 10. God has made it known to us in all wisdom and insight the mystery of His will, according to His purpose, which He set forth through Christ as a plan that will happen and occur at the fullness of time to unite all things in Him, things in heaven and earth. Acts chapter 2. This Jesus was delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God. It wasn't an accident that Christ went to the cross. Since God is a God who does all things according to plan, it befits us to approach the most important things in life with forethought and plan, not to do it haphazardly. Finally, Jesus had a mission to accomplish, and He finished it Himself with forethought and planning. When Jesus, before He performed His first miracle at the wedding feast of Cana, His mother came to Him. He said, "We're out of wine." By the way, if you ever get to see The Chosen on some DVD, I think, but also on, I don't even know, Netflix, is it on Netflix or whatever? But anyway, The Chosen really has some tremendous mini-series about Jesus and His ministry on earth. But He says, "My time has not yet come." There was a plan and an appointed hour for the revelation of God's power through Christ. And Jesus was going to stick to it. Luke chapter 9, verse 51. As the time approached for Him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. He knew the plan, part of the plan, or the key aspect of the plan, was that He was going to be put to death in Jerusalem. And He didn't shrink back from that plan. Because it wasn't just the Heavenly Father's plan, it was His own plan. The Father's plan was His plan. He said this about His life in John chapter 10. "No one takes my life from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have the authority to lay it down and the authority to take it up again. This command I receive from my Father." So the Heavenly Father and the Son's plan was completely in sync with one another. So here's the conclusion. Very specifically, my plea to all of us in this new year is that we take some time to plan the most important things in our lives. Plan how you're going to spend. Husbands, plan how you're going to spend time with your spouse, your wife, to deepen and strengthen that marriage relationship. And it's okay for the women to plan to how they are going to be with their husbands. A marriage is ordained and planned by God in heaven. So we can plan together how we can strengthen that bond of marriage. Plan how you're going to spend time playing and teaching your children. I'm already excited about when the snow melts. I'm going to be out there with my kids playing baseball. Oh, by the way, I got a new method for you senior citizens out there who struggle to get out of the couch sometimes. You know, I'm getting that way. It's like I think of a number about half of my age, and then I say that out loud. It helps me get out of the couch. So try that someday and see if it works for you. Plan how you're going to get exercise. You need to stay healthy. That is so important. You know, you might say, "Well, you know, I did exercise today." But over a long period of time, that exercise helps. I really appreciate my little puppy dog. I take that dog on a walk faithfully. Well, she takes me on a walk, I guess you'd say. But that helps with my exercise. How are you going to get enough sleep? What are you going to eat that's going to keep you healthy? How are you going to keep yourself from overindulging, which is very easy to do during the holiday season, as I know? Plan your vacation so that you will get rest and relaxation during that time. By God's grace, it will happen. Now, I know I went on an unplanned vacation for a month. I wouldn't recommend that, but I have to say that in God's plan, it was good for me. Came at the right time. But most important, plan about prayer and meditation and reading of God's Word. Make that a significant part of your life. I know that later in 2020, I had this little Bible challenge where it's like, "Hey, we're going to memorize a book." And I know that fizzled after a couple of weeks. But you know what? Sure, it's okay to fail. It's okay to try something and not achieve the exact goals you were hoping for. But I'm going to stick with it in the next year. And I'm going to try to remember all the things I already forgot when I was doing that. So we fail, that's okay. As long as we lean on God's strength and grace to continue on. Without a plan, these most important things will get brushed to the side. There's a little book called The Tyranny of the Urgent. I don't know if you've read it. It's this idea that when things come flying at you from the left and the right, your attention is drawn there. And these more important things that
you just don't get to. Planning should be a regular part of our lives. So my plea to you, set aside a regular time to plan. Especially that plan of prayer and reading God's Word. You might read the Word for a week. You might read it for 2 weeks. And you say, nothing, God, I don't feel you speaking to me. I'm not hearing you speak to me. Keep doing it. Your perseverance and your patience will pay off. Give some thought about how God might want to use you in the immediate future. Plan the communications you've been putting off. I know one thing I always enjoy about Christmas, it gives me some time to think down and write a Christmas card. That's nice to do. To know that they get that card and they say, "Oh, the pastor was thinking about me." That's important. And forgive me if you didn't get what I'm sorry. I tried to get as many as I could out. Plan the communications you've been putting off. The Bible verses you want to teach your children. Julie, that's on you. I'm sorry, I'm not very good at that. What visits do you want to make? Someone you haven't seen for a long time. And maybe now that we can social distance and put our masks on and stuff like that, it's okay now. We don't have to be afraid to go to visit our neighbor. What book do you want to read? What neighbor do you want to talk to? The Proverbs teaches us to plan. The greatest missionary who ever lived, Paul, he had a plan. The Father in heaven had a plan that will not fail. Jesus, his Son, resolutely set his sights for Jerusalem, knowing that this was the greatest plan of love ever devised. You see, God and the Son, they planned for our eternal joy. Let us plan for their glory here on earth and beyond. Heavenly Father, it's good to be in your house today. I miss being here. I miss being with your family. For the warmth and the love I receive, the warm smiles, the encouragement, just the hope and knowing that you're in control. That we can count and rely on you. That your plan is perfect. It is loving. It will not fail. We thank you. In Jesus' name.